the rest of the story. Train whistles screamed, and steam blasted from the boiler infernos of the two locomotives. In moments utterly unavoidably, they would crash head-on. Strings of boxcars clattering behind them, the two 20-year-old Baldwin engines were picking up speed. 50 miles an hour, now 60. Air brakes on both completely inoperable. 65 miles an hour, now 70. Engineers and crewmen in both trains, knowing the inevitable, had already jumped free. Closer and closer, faster and faster, each locomotive doing about 90, some eyewitness reported, when finally the trains collided. This is the rest of the story. What I've just related was no accident. It was planned. It was a publicity stunt to promote the expansion of the Missouri, Kansas, and Texas Railroad in the summer of 1896. William George Crush, general passenger agent of the company, was the one who thought it up. A predictable train wreck. It would surely draw a tremendous crowd, he told railroad executives, and they agreed. So Willie Crush went to work. First, he took every imaginable safety precaution. He consulted experts regarding what the trains would actually do when they collided and what the closest safe distance would be for the spectators. Every worst-case scenario was anticipated. What if, for example, what if one of the trains jumped the track before the collision and the other, unmanned, would continue racing along toward the next town? Well, to prevent such a disaster as that, the rails would be cut behind each train so that neither could go on more than a couple of miles. Most important, the promoter insisted the boilers must not explode. Technicians assured him that they would not. And then Willie Crush selected the ideal location for the controlled crash, a wide stretch of rolling Texas farmland between Waco and West, through which his company's track was already laid, and nobody knew better than he. If the event were a success, a town would surely take root and bloom and boom at that very site. The first population emerging from the curious who came there eventually would become a thriving metropolis. So Willie Crush, in advance, named the new town with his own name. He called it Crush, Texas. The day of the railway drama drew near. Ads appeared in newspapers along the Missouri, Kansas, and Texas line from Topeka to the Gulf Coast. Barns were emblazoned with posters. 33 special excursion trains were booked. September 15, the day of the big event, an estimated 50,000 thrill seekers gathered at the town of Crush, which already boasted dozens of small businesses, two telegraph stations, a restaurant, a jailhouse, a police force of 200. Shortly past 4 p.m., the locomotives backed up, each about a mile. Willie Crush himself, riding a prancing horse, dropped his hat to give the signal, and with a multitude of eager onlookers on looking, and with teams of photographers poised to record the momentous moment, the two trains roared toward each other, and they did collide. But contrary to the expectations of the experts, the boilers blew, firing hundreds of pounds of hot steel fragments half a mile in all directions, seriously injuring scores of people, instantly killing two. I relate this because someday you may be traveling Highway 35 north of Waco. And there, in the middle of nowhere in particular, you may squint and see a small historical marker on the east side of the road. That marker is a memorial to the dream of a railroad man named Willie Crush, and to the town of Crush, Texas, which was never to be. Crush, Texas, like some cowboy brigadoon, thrived for one day and then vanished forever. Of course, you know why, because you know the rest of the story.